What is up, Steel Studying? Happy Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. I'm your host here on the study session, Jeremy Ritz, welcoming you to another episode, another lovely episode with you, the wonderful Steel Studians, here on episode number 83 as we roll along in our quest for 100. We are only 17 episodes away from that number that I am so much looking forward to. Going to have something really special planned for that date, so stay tuned. As we get closer, I will share what that is. And much gratitude for all of you helping me to get to this point, to episode number 83. All the gratitude and appreciation in the world coming at you. Thank you so much for being supporters of the Steel Study, for reading my work, listening to the study sessions, listening to the Steel Study podcast. It means the world to me. So thank you. And keep it going. Please continue to share with your family and friends. Help spread the message of the Steel Study. And we're going to keep this thing growing and getting bigger and deliver even better content to you as the season kicks off here September 12th. Very, very close. You can connect with me via email at thestillstudy@gmail.com and also give me a follow on Twitter at stillstudy. Let's connect. Would love to get your question on the show. If you'd like to see a particular article, I'll put it together for you. But again, gratitude, love, appreciation to every single one of you out there in Steelers Nation. So let's have at it. Let's jump after it here today on this Tuesday. And the biggest news comes from a tweet from Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I always talk about the Godfathers, the Mount Rushmore of Steelers beat writers. And yes, Jerry Dulac is on that Mount Rushmore. And Jerry reported in a tweet that TJ should sign his contract following that Carolina Panthers game, and that he will, underline caps bold, become the league's highest paid defender. Thank God. We've been waiting a long time for there to be some finality around the TJ Watt deal, so it's good to hear that that's finally going to come to fruition following the Panthers game. And then finally, we will be able to see TJ Watt on a practice field getting his reps in so that he could line up against the Buffalo Bills in that opener. And again, that is going to be one ferocious pass rush. It's been ferocious in the past, but now with Alex Highsmith's development and with Melvin Ingram coming on board, the sky is the limit for this group. But it also begs the question, should the Steelers be making Watt the highest paid defender? Should they be breaking the bank for him and paying him an exorbitant number? Well, yes, he is an elite defender. He deserves to be paid like it. And as long as he's contributing, and really his peak years are ahead of him, the deal is worth it. And with the amount of cap space that the Steelers are going to be coming into, it makes sense. He is the Steelers' best defender. Some could make the argument that he's 1B behind Minka Fitzpatrick, but this is certain. Without Watt, that defense is not nearly as good as it is. So again, big news. We could put it behind us. We can move forward. The team can move forward and get their focus on the 2021 season. Another little nugget here, just to throw out. Kind of a fun one. Not fun for Duck Hodges, but just in remembering the Duck and his year when he got to play when Roethlisberger was hurt. But he signed with the Los Angeles Rams this offseason, and he was just cut. So it gave me an opportunity to pause and reflect on Devlin Duck Hodges and what he brought to the team that year. I even bought a t-shirt about my guy. Still have it. In Duck We Trust. For about 2.5 games, and that was it. But sad to see him get cut. Hope he picks up with another team, and wish him the best of luck, because he did provide some great memories that season. And then the last part of the show, I just want to spend some time talking about the Steelers 53-man roster. I put up my latest projection yesterday, Monday, following that Lions contest. And I actually had a lot of changes this week, and I'll go through those here in today's session. No change at quarterback, no change at running back. Benny Snell's still does not make the roster, although I do have Kalen Ballage jumping Anthony McFarlane as the backup runner. I feel like I've just seen a more complete game from Ballage. I need to see McFarlane get himself under control and have greater commitment to a hole in the running game. At tight end, I have my first change. The last two iterations, I had Kevin Rader making the roster. This time, I'm keeping Gentry, not for what he's done in the pass catching game, but for what he's done in terms of being a solid blocker. And with two decent pass catchers in Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth, Gentry can provide you that run game bully, as our friend Jim Wexel likes to call it. At wide receiver, and this was not something that I gave serious credence to last week, but after this past game on Saturday, I have Matthew Sexton making the roster, displacing Ray-Ray McCloud. And really, it was a tale of two opposites against the Lions. And while McCloud had a nice reception down the sideline, in terms of his production in the punt return game, he was inconsistent, hesitant, and you can't be that as a return man. And we did see that last year toward the end of the season. He started out gangbusters, but dissipated in terms of performance. You need someone who's going to be aggressive and can flip the field and make an explosive play as a return man. And I know it's a very small sample size, but Matthew Sexton has shown promise. Now, his big return on Saturday night was electric. He made something out of nothing. If he could be consistent in doing that, and if he has a big night on Friday against the Panthers, I will cement him into my 53-man roster. He needs to develop as a receiver. Not sure how much he's going to give in terms of a receiving option, but as a return man, he has proven to be solid thus far. Is it something where it makes the Steelers consider keeping six? We won't know yet, but that is definitely a position I'll be paying close attention to on Friday. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, no change on the defensive line, no change at inside linebacker, though I will say this, I've been disappointed with the play of Robert Spillane, and if it wasn't for all of the experience that he acquired last season with those injuries, he would be in jeopardy of making this roster, and I would be riding with Bush, Schobert, Marcus Allen, who had a nice game on Saturday, and the versatility he brings to that safety position as well, and Buddy Johnson. Outside linebacker, here's where I kind of go in a different direction. I have them keeping five, and here's why. I like the young talents, the energy, the relentlessness of Jameer Jones and Quincy Roche. And being that you have two veteran linebackers in Watt and Ingram, and you have an up-and-comer in Highsmith, I feel like there's enough talent there at the top that you can bring those two younger kids along, get them in there on some spot duty. They need to be able to contribute on special teams, but I would not risk them to the waiver wire. So I have Jameer Jones and Quincy Roche making it. I have five outside backers. At corner, change here for me. I've given up on the Mark Gilbert making the 53 projection. I think he's been solid. I think there's a spot for him on the practice squad. Not sure if he's going to stick around there because he is an athletic, fast corner who's rangy. But I don't have him making the 53. And I've seen enough from Justin Lane to have a bit more confidence in his game. So he sticks. He makes it. And now I'm only keeping four at corner. Hayden, Sutton, Pierre, and Lane. Those are my four at the corner position. Now remember, Antoine Brooks Jr., who is listed as a safety, provides versatility at that slot corner position. So really, I'm factoring him into both spots. Again, going back to what I've talked about in the Steelers loving position versatility, you see it there. And the other safeties, Minka, Terrell, have Miles Killebrew making it. And then Norwood's going to make it as well. And no changes in my specials, but that's how I see the 53-man roster shaping up following the Lions game. And I'll have one more iteration to go after the Steelers play the Carolina Panthers on Friday. Probably have that out either Sunday or Monday, and then that's it. I'll compare against the 53. And here's what I'll say. There are players right now that are on other squads that will end up on the Steelers team following the final roster movement that pushed to 53. It always happens every year. They have their eye on somebody or somebody becomes available. So I would not be surprised to see that happen specifically and especially at the cornerback position or even on the offensive line. Would not be surprised to see some kind of freaky trade in between now and August 31st. Seems like that always happens with the Steelers around this time of year. But one thing is for certain. There is only one more preseason game remaining. One more. And then, ladies and gentlemen, do you hear that? Listen, listen. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to play a regular season football game. Yes, regular season against the Buffalo Bills. How can you not be excited about that? That's what I'm talking about. Steelers football coming back. Regular season action. About to get after it in 2021. Make a push for the postseason. Let's hope Ben can get after another title. And life is good. I would love to connect with you. Please drop me an email at thestillstudy@gmail.com. Give me a follow on Twitter @stillstudy. Let's connect. Get a question on the show. Heck, even come on the show with me. Did I just say heck? I did. Heck. My God, you can tell I'm from Western PA. Anyways, I want to leave you with this. It goes without saying. Black and gold is who we are, what we do, and how we roll. That is it for Tuesday Studies. Make it a phenomenal Tuesday and week, and I will see you back here tomorrow on the Study Study. Peace!